Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends. Welcome in. A happy little Tuesday, because it's always a Tuesday around here. At least that's what we used to say back in the day.
I don't like it.
Why don't you like it?
Well, Tuesday's a weird day.
Why?
I don't know. You take it up a Tuesday.
I think Tuesday probably feels just fine about Tuesday.
I mean, should it?
Why shouldn't it? I think that's the real question.
I mean, you're not throwing a hump shade day. You're not the beginning. You're not the end. Like, what are you?
Just be happy with yourself,
yeah.
Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm throwing shade at Tuesday.
I'm fine with Tuesday.
It was, I mean,
Tuesdays was a big part of my life for a long time.
They had
not
to,
as much as Wednesdays.
They had to
Wednesday
make it up and
now.
Be like, we're going to call it Fat Tuesday, just to give it some sort of love.
Now, Wednesday is something that I really love, near and dear to my heart.
Hey, man, Wednesdays back in the day, we used to have the wet Wednesdays at the Ram down at Lake, down at Lake Oswego, wakeboard on the lake, come up, and then all drinks that night were half price.
That sounds like Duke's back in the day.
It very, 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 very strong vibes, okay. Except for it didn't have a lake and going wakeboarding before it went out there.
I can't believe I don't know anybody that didn't get a Dewey leaving Duke's back in the day.
Oh, you mean the cops that used to just sit there on 205 waiting for everybody?
I cannot fathom. I one time do not remember leaving Duke's, and all I remember is being in the median of 205. On the Vancouver side of the Glen Jackson Bridge, ralphing my brains out, looking over at a dude that I'd met that night who was also throwing up, and I was just like, hey, man. He was like, hey, dude, I think we got to get back in the car. And I was like, all right. He wasn't the driver. We had a sober driver. But, like, you come to, and it's just cars, like, whizzing past you super fast at, like, 1 a.m. in the morning, and you're just throwing up all your dinner all over the ground, and bad whiskey and decisions all over the freeway.
Look, Duke's was always a good idea, bad decision.
I would argue it was always a bad idea. It was always a bad idea. And it was like at 9 o'clock, they didn't do the, you only get one drink at a time.
Yeah.
So at 8:55, I think it was when happy hour ended, the 50 cent Wells, you would go to the bar and you'd be like, I'll have 8 whiskey Cokes.
Yep.
And they were like, who are they for? And you're like, me. They're like, awesome, here you go. I don't know, man.
It's good times back then.
I don't know how I survived it, but somehow I did.
We were just, bulletproofing our bodies.
I know, I always went there thinking I was like going to hit on chicks and get lucky that night. It's like, bro, you are so wasted. You are not doing anything.
You were young, dumb, and full of something.
You're lucky that they didn't kick you out of this place, man. What is wrong with you?
There's a lot of...
Makes me sick just looking at you.
Speaking of cops, there's always a lot of cops in that parking lot because, boy, were there a lot of fights
there.
Oh,
dude, unbelievable.
So, honestly, of all of the bars / establishments I went to relatively locally over the years, no place had more fights than that.
I'm a Muchas Gracias on Highway 99 guy. That's where I'm born and bred. That's where I saw my fights on Friday, Saturday nights. Right.
Who
around
fights when they're getting
2:30? Because it's 2:30 in the morning and... You get out of the bar, and then you go to get food, and a bunch of dudes jacked on estrogen, and they want to fight each other.
Ah, see, that's... No, man. I don't want to fight there. Fight at the bar when you get a little piss and vinegar in you.
And the sheriffs were always there, too. So it was like, you guys are getting... Dude, we saw some of the most epic girl-on-girl fights I've ever seen in the Muchas Gracias parking lot
on
Highway
99. Some good cop takedowns, too.
Amazing, all across the board.
Yeah.
One time I even walked into that Muchas, and the place was quiet. There was a ton of food all over the ground, and the woman working behind the counter was like shook.
Oh yeah,
see, I'm pretty sure they just got robbed.
Oh well, I mean,
I was very sad. For that,
that's always sad, but like that's where like, look, man, if you work at one of these establishments that, you know, I think I've referenced this before, the Key Bank in Beaverton is like right off of Hall, is one of the most robbed banks on the West Coast.
Really,
which is so crazy because Jeff, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It is five blocks from the Beaverton Police Building.
That sounds
like
silly.
It's like, why? It's like, I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. But the idea of, like, you know, robbing like a Muchas Gracias or something like that, it's always like, I never understand it. And if you're one of the, if you're a owner or a manager at one of those places, I almost feel like, much like FEMA, you know, Federal Emergency Management System, they use Waffle House as the measuring scale for
right.
when things go wrong.
If a Waffle House closes down.
And what you need to do, if you own or manage one of those establishments, like out here on the West Coast, you need to have like your hiring managers, your outsourcing. You need to, like, Waffle House employees should start their own like practice of, if you worked at a Waffle House for like 5 years, you should be like, you get like restaurant ribbons, like military ribbons.
Like the stickers on the back of Ohio State's helmets?
Yeah, dude. Like, and if you've got one of those, like you're certified, like you're a certified project manager, but in the restaurant business, we know how to handle everything. And you just go out to various locations that are, let's say that they're places that are typically ready for fights or late night robbery or anything like that, and you start training your employees and hiring the right employees so that, because you've ever seen those videos of people that try to rob Waffle Houses and what ends up happening to them? If it's not the guy behind the counter that whoops your ass, it's the guy that who's in there eating,
trying to get some waffles,
who's going to come over. And there was a former Marine that took down three guys a couple years ago.
Learning about Cuba, having some food,
and it was like, dude was just stone cold chilling. They came in to try to rob the Waffle House. He takes the pistol from one guy, pistol whips him. The other two guys take off running, and he stands over there and holds the gun to the guy back of the guy's head until the cops get there. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't think about this, did you?
I like the idea of taking somebody's gun, pistol whipping them, and then giving it back to them. Like, what's wrong with you, man? Get in the back of the line, by the way, dude. If you're going to rob, let me order first. I was here first.
Yeah, right?
No cutsies.
But, like, it just seems like if you're a long-tenured Waffle House employee, you should be able to, like, go start your own consulting business like, how to handle difficult situations in the restaurant fast food line cook world.
There's some of that brethren around. Whenever I run into old dirty birds out there, honk your horn if you ever worked at a Red Robin. us dirty bird folk, you know. The Spag, which I can't say the word
that
rhymes with it.
Can't say the second half of that one.
If you ever worked at the Spag, honk your horn, because I did too. Mm. Like, there's a brethren right there for all of us.
Yeah, see, I was an old Chicago guy, so we got all the dirty birds and the Spaghetti Factory folks after their places closed.
Hell yeah, dude, because that's where I'm going. Hey, we going to OC tonight? Hell yeah, we're going to OC.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Tuesday. Rusty's there. He's going to hook it up. We all pay cash, so Rust doesn't ring anything in and pours us drinks all night.
I tell you what, that Sunday night closing shift was money, because that's when, like, all of them came in. It was like server appreciation night. And so
the sales report was terrible, but Russ somehow made more in tips than he sold in alcohol.
It's weird, dude. I'm just really good.
Yeah.
Just customer service to a T over there.
Right? Have you seen those bars now? They have scales where your bottles sit, so they connect. Like,
for inventory?
So it tracks.
Oh, dude,
it's full digital, so it just keeps a live count of it.
That's probably like, what's his name? Like Taffer's inventory system on the old bar restaurant.
They've got pour spouts that
regulate.
You just push it,
No, not even just regulate. They have ones that count, like, how much you are pouring each time.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
They give you the free pour option still, but it will basically send data to your boss that you suck at your job or are hooking it up.
Mm. It's tough out here. Bunch of snitches.
So basically that bottle is like Jim Carrey in the diner after throwing the salt shaker and just pointing at Harry going, him?
Yep, yeah.
I was trying to think if there's anything local, like a Waffle House that I could think of, that if they closed, I'd be in big trouble. I was thinking about my buddy Sean, who owns Beer Mongers over on 12th and Division. Great little spot. If you like craft beer, head on over there. Great spot. He is never closed. He is open every single day. He has been open every single day since that shop has been in existence. This includes during COVID, every single day. So I was like, if Beer Mongers closes, then we're in some serious S, or my amigo Sean died. And the reality is I think he would be the band playing as the Titanic's going down, as lava is raining from the sky, and Christ Almighty has taken his redeemers with him.
You know,
and there's Sean pouring beers at Beer Mongers.
Somebody's still going to need a drink
still
on the way
out. Still going to need a drink, dude.
Is it bad that the first establishment I thought of was the Acropolis?
The Acrop? Well, I think they closed, though.
Do they?
I think so, yeah.
But, like, it just seems kind of bulletproof.
I mean, them steak bites are pretty damn good.
You know what I mean, though? Like,
don't sleep on the Texas toast, either.
No, I'm just trying to think of what's a longer-running establishment across generations in Portland that's more, that people know better, that, like, just...
Than the Acrop?
You know what I mean?
My parents would have probably said Earthquake Ethel's.
What was the old what was the old Greek spot downtown that was there forever?
Greek Cucina?
Yeah. There was that. Was that the one with the octopus?
I believe so.
Yeah, yes. That was there forever. I can never remember.
With the, and then the upstairs room with the super low ceilings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's either that and what? Kells?
Kells been around for a long time.
Yeah. Like, I'm just thinking of places that never closed, that are all, like, survived every economic downturn.
For a long time, I thought it was going to be Mary's, but Mary's eventually moved.
Yeah.
They closed that downtown spot.
That's what I mean. Like,
could get a burrito at Santeria next door. That's how I found Mary's. I was drinking at Bailey's.
I don't practice Santeria.
Mm-hmm. I was drinking at Bailey's. Used to be a tap room right there across the street. And I was like, where can I get some food? And they said, there's this burrito shop across the street called Santeria. And I was like, sweet, I'll go over there. And they were like, pretty good burritos, man. They, like, actually had, like, a cart where you could put their used utensils and stuff, because they clearly, like, were in on it together. They were like, yeah, send people over here. And I went over there, ordered a burrito, and I really had to use the bathroom. They were like, yeah, it's just through the door and to the left. And I went through the door, and it was Mary's Strip Club. And I was like, whoa, this place shares a bathroom with a strip club? This is the greatest place I've ever been to in my life.
Simple things.
And then I was late to get my burrito.
Oh, you can't do that.
Well, I needed to, you know, check out the place. I wanted a window shop a little bit.
Got
to
get the lay of the land.
Yeah, I needed to see if this was on the schedule for future endeavors.
Yeah, because right then you're like Magellan.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it. Just
discovering.
You know, I'm a man of the people, all right? You know, just trying to understand the streets of great Portland and, you know, where I'm going to go when things are truly on fire.
You get a little glitter with your burrito afterwards?
Little glitter? No. Kept the burrito in a different spot. Kept the burrito in a different spot. I was single at the time, too, so I think that was helpful.
There you go. It helps.
I think that was helpful. Locally, don't.
Never get glitter on the burrito.
Well, we got a good show for you today. We'll have free consultation at 12:15, so get them questions in. And I'm looking at the fan text line. It's being a little weird right now. So you can just text Danny's personal phone number. It's 503.
Yep, go for it.
So I'm going to try to work on that during the break, but there's also the YouTube chat.
Yeah,
so
get on that, Patrick.
Throw that. Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm going to try to do something. I'm going to go track somebody down. So we're trying to figure that out. But we'll have free consultation at 12:15 so you can get those questions in. A lot to get to. A big NFL day for some leftovers. We'll talk about the group of six, because I don't know what the hell to do with group of six. But we'll start. I watched two baseball games yesterday. A tie ball game at 5-5 and a second game at 1-0 win.
You did.
I did. And you should have too. We'll do that next. 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 10:16 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We're live, baby, as we always are, from the shadows of the semi-historic Fremont Bridge. This is where I would normally tell you 503-864-6326 is the fan text line, but she ain't working right now. She was up all night drinking with Russ last night, I think.
Oh, no, she works at the EA Crop. She doesn't work in the mornings.
Well, she was like, yeah, she was also watching two baseball games last night.
Yeah. She's hungover, yeah.
A little tired today.
Yeah, she's not a big baseball fan, but last night she was like, you know what? I'm going to watch one game this year, and I chose Game 3 of the World Series. Why not? It's tied 1-1. I'm told this is a big moment.
I want to get
this guy Shohei.
I want to get this out of the way. There is no excuse outside of somebody dying or somebody being born to leave that game last night.
Not in a World Series game.
The people that left.
If it's in July, adios.
Yeah, no. The people that left.
Adios.
Yeah. The people that left, how dare you? How dare you?
One of my, for free consultation, if you want to interact, guys, jump on the YouTube page, and you can throw in some chats there, and we'll get after that, and we'll see what we can do. We'll keep you updated on that. Yeah, there is no reason to leave that. I've got a good buddy of mine. His dad went to one of the Mariner games in the playoffs, and old Charlie, Charlie's great, great, ornery old man, and lives in Juneau, Alaska. Shout out Charlie Ford. And he's at this game, and he said he had never high-fived that many people in his life and went to extra innings. Mm-hmm. We were at the bar watching it, and we realized, oh, my God, it's the 14th inning. Charlie Ford hasn't had a drink in 7 innings. This is not okay. And so then my buddy, who's the bartender, was texting his dad, and his dad is like, this is the worst game I've ever been to in my life. I hate this. I want to leave right now.
Because he's just sitting in the stands without a beer?
Yep. That's what's rough, dude. I'm telling you. Bars open up in the 12th and the 15th and the 18th. That's what you do, okay? All right, I get it. You don't want people to drive home drunk. Yeah. I get it. But you know what?
You open up for one inning.
Yep.
12th inning, close it down again, 13th and 14th.
Yep, and then the 15th, you open it up again.
There you go, yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm. And limit it to one.
Yeah, one per person.
But I'm taking this one back to my buddy.
Yeah.
Who's right behind you.
Yeah. I'm taking this back to my buddy.
He's going
to
get two.
Yeah.
But it was a wild marathon game. 6.5 hours last night, 18 innings. Freddie Freeman with the game-winning solo home run.
Imagine if that game were in Toronto and it goes that long.
Oh, that would have been rough. That would have been rough. It'd be like 3 a.m. in Toronto.
We're talking 3 a.m.
Yeah. Oh, the bars aren't even open when you leave. Right? Well, I don't know. Does Canada have different laws?
Who knows?
In Toronto?
They might.
I would tell,
I guess
you,
even like
I would tell you to text the fan text line if you know that. But
no,
I
can't. Look at Chicago and stuff. A lot of times they're up until 4 a.m.
It was the same when I was, I was in
Winnipeg. I think BC used to be 4.
I was in Winnipeg, which is Manitoba. Back then, I think it was last call was 2, and then 2:30 was kind of, that was it. It was a little bit later, but
so
yeah,
USA.
Same year. Yeah.
Oregon laws. Because in Washington, you're done at 2. But in Oregon, I think you can hang. You can still have your drink till 2:30.
Last call to you. Just got to have everybody out the door by 2:30.
Yeah.
But a wild game last night. Freddie Freeman hits that home run. Did you know he is the only man with multiple walk-off home runs in World Series history?
Yeah.
Another one of those never-happened-before things.
Yeah, so of the never-happened-before things, I want to give Freddie Freeman all of his praise and love, and what he did last night.
He
was
wonderful.
Awesome. He is a wonderful dude.
First ballot trip to Cooperstown,
100%.
My friend.
MVP, all-time dude, great guy.
He might
guy.
Get 3,000 hits, too. We were wondering if the 3,000 hits would seal him into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I think that home run last night might have sealed him in the Hall of Fame.
He's good there. But to me, the thing about this game is Freddie Freeman's great. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Wonderful
player. We know who he is.
Very likable, regular season MVP.
Will Klein has never pitched more than 39 pitches in a game. He came out there and threw 72 pitches of absolute gem baseball. And when he is out there in that last inning, in the fourth inning of him being out there, did you see how exhausted he was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sweating bullets. When he walked to the dugout, he's high-fiving but falling on guys. Like he left everything. Everyone's like, oh, he threw 72 pitches. This is a guy who's never thrown more than 38 in his career, dude.
Well, you know, that adrenaline comes up, you know, like the mom whose baby's stuck under the car and she lifts up the car. Yeah, you're kind of just in that spot, man. It's do or die.
You can see it just go away. Freddie Freeman's going to get the heroics. Will Klein should go down as a legend for what he did last night.
Yeah, a lot on the line there, because I think if the Dodgers go down 2-1, you're really, really worried if you're a Dodger fan. I mean, I think they still have the horses to come back 2-1, but you stole one in Toronto and you want to think that you could end this thing in L.A. I mean, the look on Kershaw's face when he came out in the 12th was like, whoa, glad that I didn't do that.
Yeah, did you hear Freddie in the postgame? Mm. He goes, yeah, man, Clayton's first pitch, 89-mile-an-hour slider. He had it. He goes, he had it for 8 pitches.
The real story of the night, though, I know you love Will Klein, and we just waxed poetically about
Freddie Freeman. It's the greatest baseball player of all time.
It's the greatest baseball player of all time. And Shohei Ohtani made base 9 times last night for the first time in a game since like 1942.
And that, obviously, a World Series record.
Shohei Ohtani may never see another pitch in this World Series. The man, I made the joke with Rust earlier, pun intended. It's like the Bonds treatment on steroids. Well,
maybe it's like the Bonds treatment on the clear.
I like what you did there, Rusty. Yeah, Shohei may never see a pitch again.
I mean,
I don't think so. I mean, I saw the post-game presser with John Schneider, and they were like, one of the reporters said, not to give away any secrets, but is the plan to not let Shohei see any strikes or see any pitches? And he just goes, yep.
For those that may have fallen asleep, Shohei, 5 walks, 4 intentional. One, the last one, might as well have been. It was, I think, one pitch hit the zone. Otherwise, it was junk. They were just hoping he would chase because...
Well, he had hit 2 home runs already.
Yes.
Including one to tie the game.
Yes. And in his 4 actual at-bats, he had 4 hits, including 2 home runs, 3 RBI, and then those 5 walks. He is now in the postseason hitting .283, .424 on base, .811 slugging, while also being a dominant pitcher.
And he's going to throw tonight. Tyler on the YouTube chat, running out of words to explain the greatness of Shohei Ohtani, and that's about where we are. I was waxing poetically before we went on the air that I am so very excited that I get to watch baseball in a time with Shohei Ohtani. My favorite players of all time are Bob Gibson and Mickey Mantle. I did not get to watch those guys play. The Athletics of the 70s, the Big Red Machine.
That's so interesting. The Orioles from the late 60s. But you never saw them play.
Yeah, they're great.
Pretty good. Did you guys go back and like watch old footage?
I have DVD. I have this DVD box set of extended World Series highlights from 1948 to 2009. Okay. I've watched every single one of those.
That sounds like something that came with a subscription to Sports Illustrated or something.
Yeah, I dated this girl for like 3 months in college, and she got it for me for my birthday because we happened to be dating during my birthday.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, I made the breakup difficult, but I still have it.
Next week.
That's a fun one, though. You date around your birthday because, you get a little something out of it.
Yeah, so I've seen all
but
those.
Let me tell you, your Bob Gibson taste.
Mwah! Dude, Bob Gibson's the greatest pitcher of all time.
You're not going to get a lot
they
of
They literally changed the rules because of the man.
Don't worry about the mound.
They literally changed the rules because of the man. Who else do I love? I love Roberto Clemente.
Hey, yeah.
Didn't get to watch Roberto Clemente. I think Lou Gehrig might be the greatest baseball player of all time.
I mean, we're watching him.
And then there's Shohei Ohtani. Yeah, I got to watch Ichiro, which is pretty rad. I got to see Pedro Martinez, which is pretty rad. The trio in Atlanta. But yeah, man, I live in a Shohei Ohtani world right now.
What happens if he goes out there and throws another gem again? Like, what do we do with him?
I think he's just the greatest player of all time.
If he goes out there and goes, 7 2/3, 9 Ks, 1 run, 3 hits kind of thing, like after playing for 18 innings until 12:30 at night last night.
If that's what goes down, do you start having conversations like we do in hockey when you're like, who are the greats of all time? And it's like the Gretzky's at the top and then you start the list?
I think that's what you start doing.
You just kind of walk into that with Shohei, that this is the list and – clearly, he's at the top, and we figure out everybody.
It's Wayne,
afterwards.
And then where is everybody else? Like, where is Ovechkin? Where is Crosby? Where's Gordy? Like, Hull? Like that. But it's like there's one. Mm-hmm. There's unabashedly one that you will never touch, and then everything else.
I know. I was talking to Swag during their show this morning, and I asked him. I was like, Will Smith's the MVP, right? He's been on fire this whole series. He looked at me. He was like, you're an idiot, at Shohei. I was like, okay, all right. I'll just see myself out.
I mean, he's
Yeah. I gotta look at the rules. I wonder if Shohei was the only pitcher off limits last night. Because Yoshi was in the pen warming up in the 18th.
Yeah.
So I wonder if, is Shohei the only guy last night that was like, absolutely not, because I got to throw somebody tomorrow? Because what's today going to look like?
They used 10 pitchers last night.
To be able, if you can get 6 innings out of Shohei tonight, that would be excellent. But you are now in a point where you have to get 6 innings out of Shohei tonight.
Well, either way, he has to throw. Like, he just has to throw.
Yeah. Yeah, he has to.
Let's say he gets knocked around in an inning. Let's say it happens. Let's say he gets knocked around the fifth. You can't pull him. You leave him out there.
I think he throws at least 80 pitches no matter what the score is. Because the bullpen is just completely drained.
Yeah, I mean, again, they threw 10 pitchers last night, and one of those pitchers damn near doubled his highest pitch count ever.
I mean, the Blue Jays were going to throw Shane Bieber in the ninth inning. Or in the 19th inning. He's the starter tonight.
Yeah.
Love me some Biebs.
Crazy.
I love me some Biebs. My buddy said, glad we have video of Ohtani and Wemby. When we go to the old person retirement centers and talk about them, people would say we were crazy to witness this greatness, but we will actually have footage for them to be able to see. Because that's the truth, dude.
Like, Babe Ruth, 100-point game. It's like,
Babe Ruth once pointed to the outfield and hit a home run, and we've got like an grainy footage of it.
We got it in 4K.
Yeah.
Well, what's going to happen when we're in the old people's home? They'll have like, you know, full on like 3D integration now. And they're like, oh.
Well, it'll all be like robots and,
yeah,
you know, sports won't be played by humans anymore.
Just cyberpunk.
Yeah. It'll be like, you know how obviously drivers are very important in NASCAR, but it's also like the mechanics.
Yeah.
Will it be that?
Cartooning.
Yeah. It won't be the, you know, the center for the Spurs is so great. It's like, well, now the software developer for the center is better than everybody else. Yeah. We know his name.
His coding's pretty good.
Yeah. We know Toyota instead of whoever the driver is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, awesome baseball game last night. I'm glad everybody got to watch and witness the greatness that is Shohei Ohtani and this Dodger team that refuses to quit, trying to be the first team to go back-to-back in a World Series in over 20 years.
Is it weird?
25 years? 25 years, yeah.
Is it weird, though, because we were all up so late, that it's almost tiring talking about that game?
I mean, yeah.
Because it was such an insane game. Like,
I'm not going to lie, I fell asleep in the 13th, but I woke up in the 14th.
There you go.
And some of that was because I had to watch the Blazer game.
I got off air at 10:58, I think is when we signed off. Do what we need to do for a few minutes. I'm out in the car at 11:15. I'm home at 12:15-ish, 12:20, something like that. I'm sitting an hour drive home, and I'm listening on the radio on 910. There you go. And I'm like, please don't let this game end on the radio. I want to see this. And I got home, and it was like clearly still going. I'm like, well, maybe I don't want to. Maybe we can wrap this up now. Nah, can we wrap this up? Because there's like, I think it was about another 20 minutes before it wrapped up. And I was like, this is insane. But the number of opportunities they had, whether it was Will Smith, you know, hitting just short of the wall, or Freddie Freeman having two pokes that looked like they were going to go before he finally gets that one over the fence. But man, it was just, it was so insane. But it was also the biggest exhale at the end. And how do the Blue Jays have to feel after that?
Totally, totally. And I think the biggest thing, too, that I want going forward, and we'll wrap it up here with this, is like I just want this series to go 6, at least, because this has the makings to be one of the better World Series we've seen, with how great Yoshi was in Game 2, the onslaught of offense in Game 1, the pinch hit Grand Slam. You know, Freddie's the only player to have 2 walk-off home runs in World Series history. If we can keep that momentum going, say the Jays pull one out tonight, like this series could end really fun.
Be real special.
Or it's adios in Game 5 and we'll call it a day. All right, when we come back, when the lights shine, the goat shines. Monday Night Football reactions, Patrick Mahomes. Boy, he's comfortable under the lights. But first, there's Rust with Sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week,
I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll dive into Blazers' victory over the Lakers last night. To quote Danny Meringue this morning, that Denny Abia, he plays basketball.
He's pretty good.
He's pretty good at basketball, so we'll check in on the Blazers here in a moment. But something I noticed watching this otherwise incredibly boring Monday Night Football game, I thought it was going to be okay from the jump. Tied 7-7. I was like, look at Mariota. He might do this.
Just marching down the field.
Marching down the field. And then that bad interception off Debo.
Doink.
Dude, I told you this in the break. I've decided I'm out on Debo.
Why?
I just, you know, I would clearly lose in a street fight, but I think he's one of those dudes just won't punch in the face.
I think a lot of wide receivers.
I'm just frustrated. Like, I don't want to punch him in the face. That's a bad take. I want to shake him.
Look at this. Look at this. I'm wearing him down.
No, you're rubbing off
on him. I'm wearing him down.
I don't want to hit anybody.
Yes.
But I just want to grab Debo. I want to grab
a
Debo.
Metaphorical punch in the face.
Yeah. Like a four-year-old and just shake him and be like, what is wrong with you, dude?
You want to
go. So now you want to do shaking baby
shaking
syndrome.
Baby.
Shaking babies, yeah.
Good God. Unbelievable. Sitting here talking about
really
kids during the break.
Quickly.
Yeah, I know. And I'm the serial killer. I'm the problem. He's over here shaking babies.
Yes. That doesn't change anything.
Well. He did cost them that. Like, they were driving down the field.
No, they just doinked right off the face mask.
You can't give the Chiefs that kind of room. And look, Patrick Mahomes didn't play that well last night. I mean, his stats are okay. 25-34, 299, 3 tuds. Two picks.
Yeah.
But there was something I noticed in that game. Boy, he loves playing in the spotlight.
He's a showman.
He really is.
Like, it's a real thing. Like, that's what makes greats great, man. It's not just being, like, Brady is the GOAT. But he's also a showman.
Yeah.
Like
LFG.
Rodgers is a showman. Marino is a showman. Elway, showman. Like, those guys, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar, showman. Mm-hmm. Like, they just get it. There's Baker right now.
Yeah.
Showman. Like, it's not just winning. It's winning and doing it with a smile on your face, you know, kicking butt, taking names.
Yeah, but I think Mahomes takes it to a whole nother level because it's not just showman. It's arrogance.
Yeah.
And you don't see that a lot from some of those guys. Josh is a confident, you know, Marino was a little arrogance, but also a confident thing. Mahomes is like, I don't know. Mahomes looks at you and it's like, loser.
I feel
like he's a kid in the elementary school playground.
I think I think Josh Allen is arrogant on the field. Like when he lowers his shoulder, like on a DB, that's going to try to take him on. He looks at him like, how dare you? Cam Newton, when he, you know, tucked the ball and go, how dare you?
I just think there's something different about that man in primetime games. I
mean, no, there is.
Has anybody played more primetime games than him? I feel like every game he has is a primetime game. I mean, even this week, it's not a primetime game, but it's the afternoon window on CBS against the Bills.
No, they're going to feature him. 100%.
Oh, yeah, that'll be the, Bills Chiefs, that's going to be the national game.
I don't know, Jim, what do you think? That'll be Romo and Nance for sure. But there's, you know, he got thrown down in the end zone and there was a roughing the passer or late hit. I don't remember exactly what they called. And he's just sitting there and he's smiling. You know what he reminds me of?
Hmm.
He reminds me of Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Of just,
yeah.
Gotcha.
But again, we were talking about this the other day. Like when you said when the Blazers played the Warriors, you gave me a little bit of stick because I was like, Steph just does throw stuff up at the rim.
He does.
Like
it goes in.
But that's the thing. It's like he's so good that it just goes in, and you're like, how? It is. There's a lot of how dare you? And then he hits you with the night, and he's like,
yeah. And I feel like Mahomes has got that. Is he the most gifted quarterback I've ever seen? No, not at all.
He's up there.
Is Steph one of the most gifted athletes to play basketball? Nah, not really.
See, I would push
back on
that.
But there's something about their games that elevate them to whole new levels.
They are very good. They are very good at their hyper specific micro skills. Steph's ability to move off the ball and create havoc while also being the best shooter of all time. Patrick Mahomes able to make throws off platform. Honestly, I think the only quarterback that I've seen in my lifetime who's a better off platform thrower of the ball is Aaron Rodgers. That's it.
They both do the things that they do great. Mm-hmm. But I think what Patrick's saying is neither one of them are a fantastic. They're not athletic as hell.
But that's the thing is,
it's not LeBron
the
James.
Things that they do great and they are fantastic at.
See,
but nobody's out there calling Steph Curry like Vince Carter.
But that's the thing.
That's what I mean. It's not LeBron James.
No.
At 6'8", 240.
I get what you guys are
275.
No, I get what you guys are saying. My holistic point is that it's a different kind of athleticism. Like Luka Doncic is the one I always go
to. They're like Liam Neeson. They have a very particular set of skills.
Yes, but it's still athleticism. It's just not the explosive athleticism that we always, when we talk about athletes, we usually talk about either speed or verticality or sometimes power. But there's hyper-specific things like the Luka Doncic one I always make. Luka is the best player P3, the Sports Tracking Institute, has ever tracked at deceleration. His ability to come
slow down,
just to stop on one step, like his ability to displace energy at full speed and just stop and then start back up is the best they've tracked. But people don't think of Luka as this great athlete because he's this smooth-bodied white boy who just kind of does this. It's like, no.
So smooth-bodied no mo.
Jokic is another one. Jokic does not have the biggest vertical, but Jokic has the fastest to his highest point vertical. Like his ability to get to that spot is crazy. So it's like Mahomes. He's unbelievably good. His athleticism is in his arm and is in his body to contort and be off platform and still make these incredible throws, keep his eyes downfield, or it lies in last week. Did you see the two look-off throws he had?
Yep.
He's literally looking at the deep safety.
He's made a career off that.
And he just fires a dime to the flat. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, people don't think about that as athleticism I'm not saying I'm better. It's just in my brain, I think about that as a different kind of athleticism. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. I think, I think you nailed this. I'm just referring to, and I think that's what
as well. The burstiness.
The God-given gift. Also, the greatest deceleration I've ever seen in my entire life is Reggie Bush against Fresno State.
His is deceleration into acceleration because he stops
on that
one
dime
and then goes in one. Woof.
It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
I think the only running back play that has ever made me go, and like just gasp on my tongue and air at the same time was Saquon Barkley reverse hurdling somebody.
The reverse hurdle is nice too. Also, the Barry Sanders, he like picks up 30 yards but runs like 70.
Yeah.
That one's really good too.
It's those kind of things are
crazy. Yeah, I mean,
crazy.
Deceleration. And I was like, ooh la la.
Deceleration is a fun bit of athleticism that's starting to get a little bit more love finally.
Well, don't look now. The Chiefs are good.
Mm.
You can always count on them being good. You can't count on much, but you can count, always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I'm currently using the Paramount Plus app right now to watch some Serie A. Mm. Napoli playing somebody else. Don't know.
Isn't Pulisic injured, though?
He plays for AC Milan.
I know. I was saying Serie A.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is. Yeah,
I think we got a new season of Landman coming up soon.
Ooh, I heard that show's supposed to be pretty good.
Very good.
Show.
Very good.
Yeah. I like that.
And they got Tulsa King.
Yep. I still say Sly Stallone is the least Dwight person ever.
Such a weird name.
Yeah. You just don't look at Sly and be like, you know what? You're a Dwight.
It's because Dwight Schrute just runs it all.
It is a good show, though.
It is crazy to think about how many like characters on shows have changed a name forever. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like if somebody was ever
like
else
Screech.
Yeah.
Or if anybody was ever named Kramer.
Yeah, anybody.
Just, nope.
Yeah, Cosmo Kramer.
Just, right? Absolutely. Like, if you,
yeah, that's a one-off.
I mean, hell, Jim Cramer isn't even like the most famous Kramer anymore, and he's still on TV losing at stocks.
Oh, yeah, that guy. I forgot about that guy.
Well, he's behind Kramer and then also Kramer versus Kramer.
There you go.
See? I was just about to say that, too.
That's what I mean. You just, those names.
Yeah.
It's out there.
Patty Mahomes. Getting it done. All right, we come back. Blazers beat the Lakers last
night. It's his dad, though.
Blazers beat the Lakers last night, 122-108. I asked the question, how do you take away from a game where you're playing against nobody? We'll do a little Blazer chat next. 105.1 The Fan. Coming up in hour number deuce, we'll get to what to do with the group of six, as I am lost. Potentially one of the most historically worst defenses in the history of NFL might be happening before our eyes. Quarterback issues, a lot of NFL stuff to kind of circle back through, plus Web Gems loaded deuce, so stick around with us. Just to give you an update on the fan text line out there, I'm sorry, friends, it is still not quite cooperating. I have reached out personally to them, went through the chat line. A woman named Jill was very helpful.
There you go.
Said
she
would email,
you as Pat?
Said she would email me. She did not. Mm. She addressed me as Patrick. Mm. Said she would email me when she digs into it more. So hopefully we'll have that for you. We'll have free consultation at 12:15. You can enter those questions. Any advice you need from the weekend or the week going forward in your love life, in your sports life, you can text Jeff Russ personally at 503-8. Just dox people right on the air. That'd be wonderful. You know, if you decided
once again, that is 503-864-6326.
Yeah. Call that. You can get Jeff Rust on the phone. If you call that number right now, Jeff Rust will answer the phone.
I hate you so much.
But the Blazers beat the Lakers last night in a game that, unless you're Austin Reeves, didn't quite feel like anything was going on. He did go off again. 41 points. Side note, what is going on with this man?
He can score.
The guy can, he's got like 100, almost 150 points in four
games. He's got 92 points in his last two games.
And when LeBron and Luka are both out, somebody has to score.
Somebody has to score, and that's to our conversation yesterday. Look, I know Austin Reeves don't grow on trees. Also, why Reeves is not a Maverick right now, I have no idea.
Yeah, how they didn't get him in that
how
deal.
They did not get him in that deal. But that's kind of what I was trying to talk about yesterday, is I know Austin Reeves don't grow on trees, but I'd love to have a guy who's not the main scoring option that I know will do it night in if I need him to.
Sure. No, yeah. I get what you're saying. No, I mean, Reeves was good last night. He was good the game before. He's got, as I said, 92 points in the last two games, 51 and 41. You know, he did finish with 8 turnovers because he had to do so much. The Lakers are missing Luka and LeBron. I mean, that's, you know, you're missing basically 60-plus points, you know, 20 rebounds and 20 assists. Like, that's a big ask. And somebody on the YouTube's, you know, like, well, you know, they did have, you know, Vando and they did have Kinect. Number one, Dalton Kinect is not an NBA player.
I know.
He's not good.
I'm so sad about that. I was so high on him coming out of college.
I liked him in college, and then I heard about how his workouts went, and I heard just kind of how things were going in the process. And I was like, yeah, Blazers aren't looking at that. That's not going to be a path they go down. I know a lot of Blazers fans were like, they should go get Dalton.
Well, the Lakers already tried to trade him.
Yeah. Well, they did trade him, and then it was pulled back. But, they have no shooting on that team right now. And that's the problem that they have, is that even when they're healthy, like, Luka's going to get some volume up, but he's not a high efficiency guy as a 3-point shooter. But yeah, I mean, that's what this Laker team is going to fight against. But for the Blazers, a win is a win. Denny Avdia goes out there 25-4-4, finished with three blocks as well. And you're just like, yep, did it again. 5-8 from three, started 5-5 from three, got to the free throw line. Drew Holiday, man, holy crap. Man, is he good. He's so freaking good.
He's nice.
So good.
That's the guy you brought in. That's the guy you brought in. And maybe Drew can be that guy that I was talking about yesterday. Maybe Drew can be that guy when you need somebody. Because, look, Shaden struggled again. And I don't know if we need to beat that dead horse again. I think let the sample size continue to grow. Yep. We'll have this conversation after maybe 10 games. But he struggled to shoot again. And maybe when you have those kind of struggles, maybe Drew can be the guy. Or maybe that's the idea going forward for Master Splitter, is just, you know, what, somebody will step up. Somebody on this team will step up. Now, I think the most challenging part of last night's game is you look good. You look like a team effort. You know, Donovan had an excellent game. You know I'm a big Clean guy.
I thought that was his box score. I thought you felt his presence for the first time this season. Like, he controlled.
Dare I say best game of his career.
The Minnesota game last year where it was, 18-12-8?
I had a feeling you would say that, but I felt him.
You felt him. And even when he wasn't blocking shots, he sent a couple guys to the ground on fouls. I'm like, yeah, good. Let him know that you're not getting anything easy in here. Because I tell you right now, nobody's getting anything easy on the perimeter.
Yeah.
So let him know that there's nothing easy to get against this team.
Yeah, and getting back to Drew, I think one thing that's such a benefit, and it's mentioned on the YouTube chat as well, that Drew is an upgrade at point guard over an Anfernee Simons, just because of his versatility, his defense, his leadership, et cetera. Yeah, but I'll take that trade every single day right now.
As far as like the style of what they want to play, like Ant last night for the Celtics, won them a game.
Mm-hmm.
Came off the bench, had 25, 6 of 13 from 3. But the thing that they gave up there is that shooting.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that the Blazers need. Because, again, Denny, Jeremy, Drew, those are your only guys that are hitting shots right now. Sharp's gotten the brunt of this because of what he's been. But outside of the opening night effort from Tumani has struggled offensively. Mm-hmm. He has not gotten going. You just kind of look up and down. Donovan found it last night. But Chris Murray, even though his shooting is struggling, both him and Blake Wesley, they're so good defensively that you're like, that's fine. Well, we'll find things there. Holistically through four games, Portland Trail Blazers have turned every opponent over 20 times per game.
That's great.
They are playing fifth fastest pace in the NBA. They are number one in the NBA in turnover forced percentage. So they're playing fast. So you're like, oh, there's going to be more possessions. Doesn't matter. Even with more possessions, they're turning over teams on over 22% of their possessions. And if you're not scoring well and efficiently, you know what you do? You take 103 shots to the Lakers' 86.
I think the only thing that concerns me, those are excellent stats, and I think this defense is bona fide, 100%. Yes. We know the identity of the Portland Trail Blazers is they make you work, dude. Ant said it best. You don't come to Portland and take a night off.
Did you hear what Harden said?
Mm-mm.
Harden said the same thing.
Yeah.
Harden after the game against the Clippers, he goes, that team's tough as hell, man. Like,
yeah.
That is a difficult. He goes, they pick you up the whole game. They're going to defend you. They're going to make you work. Like, you can hear it from these guys that have these offensive burdens. Austin Reeves had 2 8-second violations last night. There was one play where he waved off a screen in the backcourt to try to screen Tumani Kamara. Because they not only did two force those two 8-second calls, he also picked up an offensive foul on Rui Hachimura because he was just pestering Austin Reeves. But on this one play, Reeves waves away the screen like, I got this. And then two throws a straight jacket on him. and Reeves tries to cross him over, two cuts him off. Tries to cross him over again, cuts him off. Bodies him up, two knocks the ball away, and Reeves just kind of throws his hands up like, where's the foul? Ball goes off him, Blazers ball. It was like, eight second call, bud. Deal with it.
My only concern that I've learned in these four games, and again, kind of like Shaden or rotation or a lot of things, Young, et cetera, things we got to wait for a larger sample size on. In these four games, the two wins are against teams on back-to-back with one of their guys not playing, if not two. And so it concerns me that even though the defense was there against Minnesota, the defense was there against the Clippers, they have bona fide superstars to close out. I worry that this is a team that only wins those kind of games and against the Jazz on Wednesday, who suck. And so that's my concern is I'm starting to worry that these wins are really only going to that they'll be competitive in every game, but the wins are only going to come around in some sort of so-and-so's not playing or it's a back-to-back, things like that.
Well, that's also...
Unless the shooting gets going.
That's also right in line with a team that is expected to win 34, 35, 36 games.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like,
and somebody called me out on it yesterday. I don't remember who it was that, going into the season, I was very, positive.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've become kind of doom and gloom. And I'm trying to check myself on that for being four games.
They're 2-2, and they legitimately had a real opportunity to be 4-0. They were...
I push a little bit back on the Clipper game.
It's a 7-point game.
Yeah. Yeah, but
they were up 11.
Yeah, but I don't know. And maybe it's just the NBA and the ups and downs and the swings of the NBA for me, but I never felt Kawhi and James were going to lose that game.
That's fine. But I mean, they have been in and ahead and
had double-digit leads
in every single game. A profile of a team that plays defense, turns you over. Now, the problem is they need to convert more on these turnovers, and that is going to be the bugaboo for them, is that in transition, a lot of times they are not kicking that ball ahead. That is what is kind of biting them. When they force a turnover, it's not an immediate push, push, push. Now, they're playing fast, but they're pushing the ball up in hand. and not pushing the ball up with a pass and more forcing the defense to move.
Well,
that's something that they need to kind of figure out. And I think if they do that, they can find a few more points and that'll turn in some victories. But go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm excited to see the game on Wednesday because the Jazz won't be on a back-to-back.
No.
In theory, they'll be starting everybody now.
And Lowry just had 51. Like,
yeah. And I know they're not very good. But,
they're 2-1. And they beat the hell out of the Clippers on opening night.
So I'm excited to see like full strength on full strength.
Yeah, no, I am too. You should go in there.
Beat the
Jazz.
You should win.
You should. It is. It's game three of a road trip. It's but it's a shorter trip. You were just in LA for two games.
You're on your way home,
and then to Utah. So it's not the most brutal of road trips. But I mean, you kind of look at what the Jazz are right now. They're 2-1, and the game was against the Suns, and I think the Suns are going to be god awful. But Lowry goes for 51, and you're like, that's not bad. You can kind of figure that out. So it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of go. In a general sense, but for me, if I'm looking at a team that I expect to be somewhere around the 500-ish realm, if you are consistently in games where it's within 5 points and 5 minutes to go, where you get into clutch basketball, you have to learn how to win in those moments. Mm-hmm. The only team I've never had to go through that for a year is the last year's champion, Oklahoma City Thunder. They never had to go through that.
Mm-mm, they didn't have to. Well, it's a pretty complete team.
But that's what I mean. Like that they are the one off of like you have to learn. You have to learn how to win. You have to learn how to close.
Jason Tatum learned it.
Yep. Every single title team has to
Giannis
learn
had to
how
learn it.
To close. Mm-hmm. And
it's what the Nets could never figure out with their big three.
No. And it's
KD was the only one ever on the court, but
yeah, and it's just, this place, and that's why I think you're seeing the value of Drew and Jeremy so much here early on. Is those two guys are acting as major, major, major steadying forces. Drew was 10 of 15 last night. He was very efficient. But think about the timeliness of his buckets so far this season.
That's what I
mean. No matter what game you're in, the timeliness of his buckets have been huge. And opening night against the Timberwolves, he had looks for three that if they go down, they win.
Yeah.
They win that game. And that those
it's too late for Ant to go off on them.
You know what I mean? Like Jeremy, I think had two, and I think Drew had two, and I think Denny left one. Though you're three guys, and that opportunity for them was right there.
All right, we come back. Hour number deuce. We'll get into some college football. What to do with the group of six? We'll go there next. 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.